Lo and behold, here we are with Patriots Friday, and a regular here on the Big Show. We're happy to have him aboard is Mike Vrabel. And, Mike, I got to believe that when Fred did that and he approached you that time, you probably stayed up countless nights just thinking about how you could make it all possible, right?
Well, guys, I'm a little nervous. You'll have to apologize. This is a little different show than what I'm used to doing on Patriots Friday, so bear with me here, and hopefully I'll be able to answer everything that you guys have in store for me. I was working with the JV team last year, so I apologize.
Well, we'll make you feel at home. I hate you. I hate the Patriots. They're awful. Everything's wrong. They're not good. They cheat. They play too hard.
They run up the score. Points. Run up the score.
They make you feel at home?
Run up the score.
That was a show from last year.
What the heck, guys?
He's still nervous. He's still very nervous.
You made him speechless.
Yeah, Fred does that to us. Did he do it to you in the last segment?
I've been trying
to
make it.
But we're happy to have you here, Mike. And Mike's going to be with us throughout the season on Fridays, and it should be a lot of fun. So let's get to some football here. And now, as a seasoned veteran, do you approach these preseason games any differently than you did when you were a young pup in the league?
Well, I'm getting into the games at the beginning of them as opposed to at the end of them when I was younger. So, I mean, I remember those days vividly, and I try to let these guys know that, you know, those guys that have a chance to make the roster, that, you know, listen, there's times where you're going to have to play offense or defense and then all the special teams, and that's just part of it. So, I mean, it's not normally what you would do in a regular season game, but, you know, when you're out there trying to make the team, you got to show that you can play on special teams. And when the starters come out of the game, you have to go in there and play for them.
Mike, how good did it feel coming off the pup list and just getting in there and just smacking some heads the other night?
Well, it felt good to finally get out there and be with the team. I think, you know, when you're injured or not able to go out there and practice, it's a little difficult to feel like you're part of the team because, you know, you're in the meetings, but you're still – there's some distance there. You know, you're not on the field practicing with them and playing with them. And, you know, we're not out there during practice. You know, we're rehabbing and stuff. So it was just good to get out there and begin to practice and start to be a part of the team again.
You know, Mike, it's amazing after all these years, and I felt the same way. All of you accomplished coming off a Pro Bowl year and all that. If you're not playing, you still feel like you're 2 inches high and you want to get out in the field. You don't want anyone in your position and you feel like you're not contributing, even if it's preseason.
Oh, I think that it's any time. I mean, they're just, the players are too good nowadays to really sit back and wait because they're moving forward and they're making other plans for everybody. And if you're not out there, you can't really help us. And so, you know, the best thing to do is just, you know, get yourself healed or get yourself healthy or whatever your situation is and get out there on the field. I mean, you miss the little jokes, the inside jokes, the things that happen at practice that guys are talking about, and you're like, well guys, what happened? You know, fill me in. You know,
yeah, don't leave me out.
They're moving on to the next joke and laughing about something that happened at practice, and you have no idea.
Yeah, I think they're laughing at you. I'm going to kill those bastards. They're laughing at me.
People keep on referring to this defense and what you guys do every week as being very complex. I mean, players that come here say, well, it takes a while to learn a lot of this stuff. Do they add a lot of new stuff as years go on? Are new stuff being added defensively with this team based on some of the changes personnel-wise?
Well, I mean, I think what a coach tries to do in any situation is to take a look at who they have at what position and what that person does best and try to try not to put a guy in a position that really his skills, you know, he can't take advantage of the situation with the skills that he has. So, you know, if you look at me, you know, you have to be able to know how to play a lot of different positions. And I think that would add to some of the complexity of it is, you know, on one defense, you're playing this position. And if we go another defense, you're playing another position. So I think that's where some of the complexity comes in. It's just, you just have to learn a lot of different spots. And, you know, we're going to need a lot of different guys and know different positions down the road as this season, you know, grows on.
Mike, you talk about a lot of responsibilities that you have to have. Now, you guys draft Mayo in the first round. He's inside basically working with Bruschi here in the preseason. It kicks you and Adelis outside. Is it nice to have that feeling to say, hey, I'm back to concentrating what I like to do, and that's getting after quarterbacks? Does that make your job a little easier?
I think that it makes it I just think it's a little more defined. I think that, you know, for good or bad, I was an emergency plan inside. So I think it defines it a little more clear as to what is expected of me, at least at this point in time, if you look at tomorrow's game.
How are the young guys coming along? They still lost, or are they starting to grab the stuff pretty good, the new linebackers?
No, I mean, I think that if you look at them all, that there's so many of them, and that they all, you know, are pretty, you know, fairly versatile. I mean, I think if you look at, you know, Sean and you know, Vince Red, you know, just two young outside linebacker guys that a lot of ability, just need to just continue to learn and just continue to develop. And I think that they're going to help us outside just as those young guys inside are going to help.
You know, you said it's so close to, you know, a player being a starter, being on the bench and not making a team. It's you know, the ability to stay healthy, the ability to perform well under pressure. It's so many little things that go into this. And you see all these young kids come in. A lot of them have a lot of talent, but most of them aren't going to be here because it's something that they don't grasp, or they make a mistake in the game and it gets to them mentally. You know, that pressure.
I just think, I mean, if you look at it, and I say that just from over the course of 12 years, if you look at what, let's say, the talent level of an undrafted free agent was in 97 when I came out, or what one looks like in 2008. I mean, the undrafted free agent in 97 was a guy that maybe didn't play in college. Now they're guys that can come in and play in the NFL. I mean, you look at Vince Red, a big guy, a big kid, 6'5", 250-some pounds, can run. I mean, that guy was getting drafted in 1997, and now he's an undrafted free agent. So there just seems to be a lot more talent out there, and the talent's starting to get a little tighter, bunched and tighter together.
What's your take on Mayo and what you've seen of him so far?
Well, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and evaluate a guy that, you know, we haven't even played any, you know, regular season games, but, you know, I just like his attitude in the meeting room, you know, his enthusiasm. He wants to learn. He doesn't have a chip on his shoulder. So, I mean, he's a good kid, and, you know, I think he can play a little bit of football, you know, on top of that.
Is there something to that, though, Mike, that when you see guys, young kids come in there, some of them have an attitude where they, you know, knuckle right down, learn the plays, get it, understand it, seem to eat, drink, and sleep football. And others, they suddenly have a lot of money on their plate right now. They drift a little bit and, yeah, they show up at certain meetings and they're there at meetings and stuff. But you're wondering whether they're getting their head entrenched in the game.
I think it's not too hard to figure out when that happens and when it doesn't happen, because it usually translates out onto the football field. How much a guy is playing, how much he's not playing, his performance when he gets in there, does he know what to do? So, you know, it's tough to hide. You know, it's tough to hide whether you're focused or you're committed to the team and your position. So that's something that's tough to really fake.
I'm not asking you to give names or say anything, but as a veteran, can you tell right off the bat in the first week or two and say to yourself, forget about the talent level, because there's probably not that much talent level across the league with these players, overall ability.
Not a large difference.
Huh?
Not a big difference between...
No. That's what my point is. Can you tell in the first or second week and say to yourself, man, you know, that kid's going to have problems. Just tell because he doesn't have...
I think it's just as you can tell from a positive standpoint. I think you can tell... you know, from a negative standpoint, but I just think it's easier to identify the kids that are positive and that the younger players that, you know, want to learn and want to try to find out what's going on. Those are the kids that I think you're going to see me or Teddy or some of the veterans, Rodney, gravitate towards, because they do think it's important, and it's something that, you know, we did as young players to the veterans that we had on our team, Jermaine Dawson and Will Wolford and Parnell Lake, guys like that in Pittsburgh.
You know, what's funny is I played with Will Wolford. He was a great guy. But I think it's humility. When guys come in, these young kids, and they got a lot of money, and they think they're successful, yeah, actually, but they think they're good because they have the money. And they refuse to to watch the other players, like he was saying, and learn what makes a Vrabel so good, what makes a Brewski so good, what makes, you know, Ronnie Harrison, and let me try to emulate what they do and how their work habits are. You can tell Russ Week some pinhead walk around with his head up in the air and he's not paying attention because he's going to be, you know, pounding his chest because I got the money. And not watching. And those are the guys, you know, Mike, when you see them, that they're not going to be around that long.
Right. I mean, they're going to be as long as, around as long as, you know, Bill can stand them, I think. It's,
How long is that?
I don't know. I don't know. But, you know, I think that if I take anything from what Bill said, man, the clock is ticking. And he means that, and he means that in a positive way. But, the clock is ticking for all of us, whether you're injured, whether you're not committing. It's something that everybody, you know, and he'll admit to it, too. I mean, it's ticking for him. I mean, you only get so many opportunities and so many chances to do good things in this league.
Hey, Mike,
individually and as a team.
Back in 97, we kind of had the same situation defensively. Al Groh was our defensive coordinator, and then Bill Belichick came back full circle, and then he helped out with the defense under Parcells. You guys have Dean Pease. He's obviously your defensive coordinator. You had Dom Capers in the offseason. How's that dynamic different defensively? Is he strictly with the DBs, or do you see him, you know, really getting his head in there?
Well, I think Dom's concentrating on the DBs, and he's doing, you know, where he's hired to coach, you know, and that's the secondary. But, I mean, I think if you look at it on any staff, on any good staff, I mean, I think you need a lot of different guys, you need all hands on deck to figure stuff out, especially on game day. I mean, it's just, there's things going on. If somebody sees something, I mean, we need that input, and the coaches need that input. And so I would imagine that being a good coach that he is, Dom sees something, he's gonna mention it. And I would hope that, you know, if another coach saw something that I was doing or somebody else on our team was doing, that he would mention it to try to help us out and you know, and make us better.
Hey, Mike, what Olympic sport does Mike Vrabel enjoy watching?
Synchronized diving.
I was just going over.
Other
I like
than
the
women's beach volleyball.
I said the same thing. It's those bathing suit wedges that I love.
Do they have men's? Do you watch the men's beach volleyball at all, Mike?
Didn't know they had men's.
Really?
Beach volleyball.
Really? We'll get you a couple DVDs. We got a
Glenn,
couple.
Why are you
copies.
Watching men's volleyball?
For the sport.
That's Karch Karai.
And one other question is, why do they wear bikinis in men's and women's volleyball?
That's a good point, Fred. You throw the.
What should they wear, Fred?
One piece.
What are you guys' favorites?
Mine's gymnastics. I just love the way those girls bounce around that floor.
Synchronized swimming and diving, Mike,
men's
is my
synchronized
favorite.
Swimming, yeah,
I don't watch it.
You know, men has,
I just don't watch
there's men synchronized swimming now, too, you know.
I know. I'm not into that.
Oh, yeah, right.
Into that.
Well, look, Friday, don't let McNabb throw
like
up on you.
The reverse of Title IX, men's synchronized swimming.
Title IX. You know what? If there is a Title IX, why don't you just combine the sports if they're all equal? Right? Just have sports.
Well, co-ed
sports. And then let the girls try out
co-ed
for the
sport.
Men's sports.
You'd have some
I don't know if we'd want to. I don't know. We wouldn't have too many guys if we could combine the softball and the baseball team. I think the softball team would probably end up dominating.
We'll whoop them women.
I got to tell you, I'd like to see some big fat guys doing that gymnastics stuff because that would be a challenge.
Look in the mirror and jump around.
Yeah, there you go. That would be a challenge. See about that. Took Fred two hours to say something funny. Hey, Mike, we're really excited to have you here on the Big Show. We're going to be down there in Foxborough every Friday. So we'll bring
you food, too.
We'll bring you some food from Davio's.
And some Greek food.
We'll be catching you there on Friday down in Foxborough. But it's great to have you here on the Big Show.
Okay, guys. Thanks for having me.
Have a good one. See Mike Vrabel. He'll be one of our regulars here.
He doesn't like you.